Welcome to Poolesville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolesville in western Macomb County, Maryland. Poolesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You are always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. In his message titled, The Lost Art of Gentleness, Reverend David Williams tells us that today's movies portray aggressive characters. Society is constantly telling us that we are not to be gentle. God would like us to be more like Him. He would like us to be known for our gentleness and patience towards everyone. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. Sometimes it seems like everything is just there to distract. There's so many different things that call our attention to themselves. Every day, some new thing that we are meant to be upset about. Every day, some new thing we are meant to desire. And we, in the face of all of this distraction, can become scattered and fragmented and aimless and lost. That can affect all of us. It certainly is a challenge for me. And so in the face of all of these things that distract and mislead, let's admit that we struggle with that, that we are distracted, we are misled, but that as we gather here, we are trying to find our way back to the path. Let's admit that using the prayer of confession. It's printed in our bulletin. Please join with me in praying it. Almighty and sovereign God, we remember your love for all of creation and that you call us to live out our lives in compassion for one another. You call us to stand as your children and bless us with our freedoms and our capacity to work together for the good of all. Yet we drift into apathy, choosing not to act, giving in to easy cynicism or hopelessness. We turn on one another, finding reasons to resent and reject. And we wonder, Lord, why we struggle to see a good future. For our limited vision, Lord, forgive us. In the name of Christ, please forgive us. Amen. Listen now for the assurance of God's pardon. Who is in a position to condemn?
Christ,
who lived for us, died for us, and reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything is fresh and new. Friends, what is the good news of the gospel? In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Today's third scripture reading is drawn from Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. I'll be reading from Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. You can follow along on page 198 in your Pew New Testament. Let us listen a third time for God's word. Paul writes, "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia and Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they might be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It feels that gentleness is a forgotten art. It's one of those skill sets that seems in our current society about as irrelevant as being the world's leading expert on phrenology or having a strong working knowledge of Fortran 5. We are not supposed to be gentle, because gentle is weak. Gentle, we are told, is weak. All of us aren't supposed to be gentle. We're meant to be fierce. We are capable of aggressively pursuing the thing that we want. We are supposed to be the terror of any who oppose us. We live in an era where we are all meant to be warriors in our own self-interest, in an era when even Disney princesses seem to be masters of ninjutsu. It's not an era where you want to be gentle. And gentle isn't just weak. Gentle is boring. Gentle is boring. That is actually one of the primary and most consistent complaints I will read online when I read people who don't like my book. Because I never read those. I never obsess over the negative reviews, because you don't do that as a writer. People really have trouble, or some do, with the narrator of the book, the Amish father, Jacob. And what bothers them is that he's not a fierce man. He's not a man of anger. As I wrote him, and as is consistent with so much of old order Mennonite culture, there's just nothing but calmness all the way down. He stays patient and kind and gentle throughout, and dear Lord Jesus, does that bore people. It's so dull. One particularly catty reviewer said, you know, he makes the apocalypse seem as dull as watching paint dry. Because he's not angry. He's not fierce. There's no, like, moment where he snaps and suddenly there's revenge, which is a standard narrative. And I suppose I could have had the Amish community get angry and vengeful, but I don't even know what that would look like. It's like, we've had it up to here with you, so now we're going to gather up into an enraged mob and build you a barn, angrily. I mean, I don't know how that would work. Because our culture's expectation is fury, is anger. Who wants to be known for gentleness? Because gentleness doesn't get you anywhere. You get stomped, you get trampled. You have to have your action be swift and sharp, and nothing needs to stand in your way, because we're like a pack of wolves, each one striving for alpha status. Gentle doesn't get you anywhere in packs of wolves and wild dogs. Although my own dog doesn't seem to have gotten that memo, because when we got her, she just sort of sat there, just placid as could be when she was a puppy. When she grew, she was a little more active, and there's always this, I don't know if it's me, but there's this idea when you get a dog, even if they're sweet, but if push comes to shove and your family is threatened and the household's in danger, they're going to turn into this fierce and feral wolf being, a fang defending your house, and you're like, this ferocious white wolf of a creature. And no, as I've gotten to know her over the last, no, she wouldn't do that, because she's just gentle. She's entirely harmless. I mean, toddlers come up to her and she snuffles them, and that's about as aggressive as she gets, this snuffling. And she does wag at strangers so much that if burglar broke into our house, I'm pretty sure she would spend most of her time following around seeing if they had a treat to offer up. And then when they didn't, she'd go curl and wait while they looted everything. She does bark at the mail carrier, but that's required. You know, just, you know, comes with the package. She's not fierce. She's gentle. She doesn't like scary things. I mean, if they're fireworks, she hides in the shower. If there's thunder, she hides in the shower. Lately, if there's a moderate rain, she hides in the shower. You know, this is not a fierce creature. She's gentle. And we don't want that. We are fierce creatures. We don't want to be gentle because we have been told it is a sign of weakness and we feel lessened by it. And yet, here in Scripture, we hear gentleness presented as a significant theme in today's reading from Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. The section today comes as he's wrapping up his correspondence with this little community. And Philippi was not like Corinth, which drove him crazy. And it wasn't like the church at Galatia. He starts his letter, "You're a bunch of idiots!" He loved Philippi. Philippi was a place for which he had deep affection. And as he's wrapping this letter up, he needs to start by naming a couple of people who are important to him in that community, because it's the ancient world, that's what you did. Please say hi to this person. Please say hi to that person. And it's notable that he addresses two women, both of whom seem to have occupied positions of leadership within the Philippian community. And he names them directly, Euodia and Syntyche, and he says he wouldn't do this if he didn't hold them in some regard, if they weren't significant co-workers, which he names them as. These are people who have struggled beside me to further the gospel. He views them as co-workers with him and equals with him. And the only reason he calls them out is, well, they are equals, I am highlighting them. But evidently, they both get the gospel and they both understand it, but they're not getting along. They don't seem to have any big theological issue. There's no great matter of principle or faith being surfaced. They just rub each other a little bit wrong. It's a human thing. There have been people I've worked with who are perfectly nice and pleasant folks, and we're like, I don't get along with this person. What's wrong with that? And to them, all he does is say, hey, ladies, please, can you get along? Just do that. Get along well together. He commends a few other souls and then gets down to closing advice as he wraps up this letter. He reminds the Philippians of the importance of celebration, of realizing that their faith, as much as they struggle with it, needs to be a source of joy. He reminds them to be known for good things and talks to them a little bit about the importance of gentleness. Let your gentleness be known, the scripture says, to everyone. And these are calm and pleasant words, and they're kind of remarkable given the context from which Paul speaks them. He's delivering this message from prison. He's currently under arrest and held by the Roman authorities. And incarceration is never the most pleasant thing. And in the ancient world, it could be particularly less pleasant. And yet he says, let your gentleness be known to everyone. And it's easy to say that if you're not in a place of challenge. It's easy to say, be gentle with, say, your comfortably ensconced in a small town where the primary existential threat you face is being accidentally trampled by a passing herd of cheerleaders. But it's considerably harder to say it if you're facing the real possibility of an unpleasantly first century Roman execution, which he is. And yet, and still, he says, be gentle. That's what he asks of the church at Philippi. But there's more to that than our understanding of the term gentleness, because he didn't say gentle. He said epikakis in Greek, because this is all written in Greek. And that word, it's one of the pesky things about shifting a faith across cultures and languages and times. That word epikakis he's using is one of those Greek words that doesn't have a precise analog in English. There's no one word that is exactly right for it. And you'll notice that if you look across different English translations, most of them take a different spin on it. It always reads a little bit differently because there's no exact way to render it. The word can mean gentle. That's part of its meaning. But it also means moderate, balanced. It also means, and is translated as, lenient. It means patient. It means fair. And it means, in all of that, calm. Unaffected by anger, unaffected by rage. It's not a weak word. It's a word of peace and calmness and ease that cannot be shaken. And Paul, writing to the Philippians and also to us, is reminding them in the face of crisis, in the face of disagreement, in the face of disruptions in culture, not to focus on what stirs us to outrage, what makes us yearn for conflict, what makes us furious as dogs with each other, but to focus on the good that is and that might be. As he continues, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, think about those things. Keep your eyes on those places that center you in grace, because there's so much that's not going to. Paul knows, because he lived in a period that knew conflict, that having the wisdom to focus on that which is good is conducive to that spirit of calm gentleness that he encouraged and saw in the Philippians. And that didn't mean being ignorant of the negative or being blind to what was unjust. Paul, who was personally very directly impacted by injustice to the point of being killed for his faith, was not asking the Philippians to be blind and naive, but instead saying, don't be consumed by those things that fill you with fury and being convinced from the anger around you that that's how you must live. Turn your eyes away from those things. Turn your heart towards a spirit of kindness, and you will find that it can rest in you. That sounds easy, but it is hard to avoid, because anger, rage, draws our eyes. We're drawn by loud things, by shouting, by blustering, by bullying, by indignation. There's a saying out there that I see repeated over and over again by the friends of mine who are always mad about something. There's always something that they're mad about. And that saying is, if you're not outraged, you're not paying attention. I see that all the time. And there's some truth to that, but I think the challenge in our society is that idea has been largely marketized and commodified. You know, I mean, I'm sure out there there's some media consulting firm that has those words as their slogan. I don't know, maybe they're like Umbragia marketing consultants, you know. It's, if they're not outraged, they're not paying attention. That could be the motto of pretty much half of Twitter, I think. You just have to be mad all the time, because anger and outrage draws attention to itself. And in a culture where we are taught to be relentlessly self-promoting, where we have to be that, where eyeballs and attention are actual currency, it's hard pulling yourself away and keeping your eyes on those places that give you a spirit of gentleness. I tried to think, like, who's the social media celebrity now who is known for their gentleness? Like, no, I mean, you would ignore them for the loud person, for the angry person. And that doesn't make what Paul is saying, this epikakis, this spirit of humble, gracious, merciful gentleness, less necessary. In fact, it makes it doubly necessary in a culture that is increasingly defined by self-serving rage. Because societies like that don't do well. If we're defined only by anger upon anger upon anger, those things tear apart. And that's the challenge in our society now. And in the face of that, Paul is reminding us where to keep our eyes, what to be known for, and what to do. Because you aren't known for your gentleness unless that is what you're doing. That's how he starts wrapping things before he gets to his final conclusion. Just keep on doing those things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, he writes. That's all right. There may be more of those at some point in the near future. One of the joys of an anxious culture. Because it's not always easy shutting out the fears and the endless whirlwind of fear and outrage that pours out at us, that can harden us, that can consume us. But if we do, as Paul asks, keeping our hearts and minds turned towards the one who formed and keeps us, then we can both think gentleness, be known for gentleness, and through that knowledge be part of the gathering into this path of grace that we're all meant to keep our eyes on. Let that be so, for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation of Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
Ours is not a particularly gentle culture. I'm reminded of that every time I go to theaters lately, and I sit in films that just seem to be like, rah, 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 just the whole time it's jumping on me, and lights and flashes, and J.J. Abrams' lens flare, and it's just a lot, and it's big, and it's loud, and it's aggressive, and we're told that that is the way we must be in all things. Live loud, live fierce. And it seems there's less and less place for gentle things, for things that are calm and at peace with themselves and at peace with their neighbors. And the more we are drawn into this culture of constant ferocity, the more we lose sight of that path of peace with neighbor, that path where we aren't immediately offended by something you said because, well, we have to be, because if we can't tweet angrily about something you said, then no one will follow us and retweet our things tomorrow. So that culture of anger is easy to fall into. And against that, we hear from Paul today a reminder that he offers up to the church that he loved most of all. Keep being known for your gentleness. Be known for your moderation, for your tolerance, for your patience with others. Let that be the story that's told. And let that story be told even in the midst of the loud craziness of the Roman Empire, which was known for some loud, unpleasant things. That's what we're reminded to do by Paul today. And there is a world out there that knows mostly anger and umbrage and ferocity, that could use to know a little gentleness, a little kindness and patience. Be known to them as that when you walk out this week. Everyone you communicate with, everyone you're in exchange with, and especially people you might have a little thing with, your euodia, your syntyche, the person who's like, oh, I just don't get along. Let them know a little gentleness from you this week, because that's the point of this path. Gentle, patient, and kind. It's what we're asked to do and how we're asked to live. Let's get that done a little bit this week. So now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, may they be and abide with all of us today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.